Meeting called to order. Citizens' comments? No. Approval of the minutes. There are copies of the minutes if anybody needs to take a quick look.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Terry.
I'll second.
Thanks. All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. What I'd like to do is just kind of change the agenda here a little bit. And Mike's got some conflicts. We can jump down to 12 and 13 and start with those two items, and then we can excuse Mike.
11 and 12.
11, 12, and 13. Probably.
11, 12, and
13. Can we also switch 6 and 4, too?
Sure.
Okay. It's not a big deal, but it's just something that the others go together better. Okay. Go ahead. Sure.
Okay. Quick update on the treasurer land information system. We are wrapping up the RFP. We are still in it. We will be sending notification to the vendors on what we're going to be moving forward with. We should be sending that this week, so by the next meeting, we should have more information for you guys on what next steps are and whatnot. This has been a very interesting RFP process. Now, one thing that we discovered as we've gone through this is, while yes, Wisconsin has 72 counties, it seems like tax systems like this and property systems like this are fairly unique. It's not like an ERP system that everyone, private and public entities, need to utilize. So it's been a pretty intense process of us looking at what's available out there and seeing what will work, what won't work best for Kenosha County. But we're moving forward with it and should have that vendor selected real soon.
Okay.
Notification sent out to the vendors.
I think we're kind of looking for contract approvals in June, so general time frame of that. Once that's approved, then we can start with the implementation. And we do see this as a, you know, it's going to definitely span into 2015. So it's not a quick implementation by any means. So.
I think part of that is because I think we had higher hopes on what we'd be able to find right out of the box for a system. And to be honest, there really wasn't anything that both Al and I, right out of the box, would be happy with. To the point where we'd be going backwards on some things. And so then it became a much more detailed process for us to go through and figure out exactly what we'd have to do to make it work for us.
Yep.
So
our system is what, 20 years old or so?
Yep. 20 years old. We got it in 1994 or 5, yeah.
So over those 20 years, there's been a lot of enhancements, making it fit and work for the county. So that's, you know, part of the difficult part is getting all those features and functions that have been implemented in the new systems.
Well, and I think when we bought it 20 years ago, we bought it as a long haul system. So we bought it and we spent a lot of money. I mean, we bought it 20 years ago for over $1 million when we bought the system. So I thought that was a lot of money then. It's still a lot of money now, but it was a big deal. So I think this is a big deal, and we've been going through it carefully to try to make sure that we're not missing anything or dropping the ball on any portion of it, because, you know, property records are important.
Yeah. Once it does get implemented, I'm assuming that there'll be a different kind of public access screen to be seeing, so, you know, you probably get you definitely get notification before it happens, but then maybe there'll be a training period too, so that people can come in, take a look at it. We can kind of say, okay, what you're going to see now, rather than this old screen that you have.
Are you going to keep it simple, or are we going to understand it?
Well, we're going to make it real complex.
Just reuse it. Just want everybody to
call
it.
You know?
Can't you tell? This is the flowchart for it. And that's just to get to the first name.
Well, I kind of envision us doing something similar to when we first got the property inquiry screen, where we kind of did a little roadshow antic. I mean, went to a couple like expo type situations to get it out there for the public to show it to them and start to understand. So I would picture that we would do something similar to get the public aware of it and see what the changes are.
Just a comment, you know, I don't do much in Racine County, but I just listed a place up there, and they're nowhere near what Kenosha County gives me. Their thing is a nightmare, I think. Maybe I'm just not used to using it, but even their maps don't come out as well, and their information, and all you get is the assessment.
Whenever I've gone on their website, I've had a hard time.
That here, we got a pretty good eye for design.
I think so.
Flow, and we'll definitely be leveraging that as we move forward. But also keep in mind, as with anything that's on the web, this will always be a growing and evolving process.
Well, and I think even with our current website, we've been constantly changing it and reviewing it.
I mean, it's good. I mean, I think it worked good from our perspective and looking at stuff.
Great.
And we have
to be great people until there's to it, huh?
Oh, you guys are.
Did you use, are you using outside consulting or just in-house when you went out for the RFPs and things? And how many vendors did come forward on something?
We did reference a company called Gartner to get an idea of what's out there. They specialize in research of other applications and vendors. You might be aware of Magic Quadrant, Gartner's Magic Quadrant, where they take a system such as this or such as ERP system or something like that, and they'll look at all the vendors and then, based off of questions and interviews and research that they've done, place them on this quadrant where they fall as far as industry leaders or lagging behind. So we did reference them on what's available out there for us to look into, and then we reached out to of them specifically to participate in the RFP, but then we ran the RFP internally.
There aren't that many systems that do business in the state of Wisconsin, to be honest. We went outside of the state just trying to look at, to see if there are other options that could work for us, but really in the state there are about four different systems being used by the majority of the counties. So it was a unique experience seeing how they're used in different counties too. I think that was interesting. And integration that we take for granted here, that does not happen other places. So that was interesting.
Yeah, well, what we found is, you know, smaller counties are easier to manage by, you know, Excel sheets and stuff like that. So some of the stuff they do with that in the counties, which we don't. We want it all in our system and easily managed and reported.
For example, special assessments for municipalities, that's managed by our system currently. I run a report every month that says which special assessments were paid and which municipalities and how much I need to cut a check to each of those municipalities for, and that's it. We cut the check and we're done. Most of these systems that do business in the state do not have something like that on the books right now. They manage those payments of special assessments with spreadsheets. And with the thousands upon thousands of special assessments we have, that's not an option. And so that's one of those things that we had to kind of go through and work with the vendors on. So,
anything else? Land information, tax?
No, I think we covered.
Very good. Redaction activities?
You can speak, and I'll add in if you forget.
Good. So with the redaction, we are currently starting another RFP for scanning in all of the books that are currently housed in the basement here. Last year, we finished an RFP and a project of scanning in microfiche documents.
Yeah, it was 555,000 images were scanned in, loaded into our system, and now are available on the internet for purchase.
Yep.
That's all our microfilm documents.
Yep.
So that was a big project.
How far does that go back?
That goes back to the early 70s.
Early 70s.
Yeah. Now, they're not all indexed. That'll be part, and they're indexed by document number, volume, and page, so if you happen to know that, you can find them. But if you need to search by legal description or grant or grantee, that's going to be part of this RFP that we're working on this year. Is going to include indexing all the documents by person's names, grant or grantee, parcel number, and legal description, along with scanning another 1,430,000 back to 1850. So everything that we have will be backed up
and a digital image. We're not going to index everything back to 1850. We will index back to 1935, which kind of segues with the redaction. It's when Social Security numbers were created in 1935. So everything there will be indexed back to that date. And this obviously will take more than this year.
Yeah, especially the indexing of it.
Yeah.
With that, we will be making some modifications on the back end for the imaging platform. Right now we use IMS 21 for imaging to the TriMet system, which is what everyone uses for accessing the ROV documents. We will be switching that over to the system that Kenosha County is moving forward with, LaserFish. It's a more robust, more powerful system for us to utilize for these types of functions. So we have a process where we will be doing that, and as part of that, we will be implementing a redaction module that will have a rule-based system to be able to automatically scan through these images, find Social Security numbers, and identify them for redaction, and be able to redact them as well. So that will also be a multi-step process.
That's kind of more of a real-time redaction process, right?
Right.
What we did with some of the other documents, we actually sent them out.
Right.
We got a revised image back, so we have the original, and then we have another set
right.
which have been revised.
Right.
I think what we're going to in the future is more of a real-time where it can...
Right. Well, we'll all the documents will be scanned, and then the ones that have Social Security numbers, the way I understand it, will be identified. So then when someone wants to pull up that image, the program will know that this has a Social Security number. It will find it, and the person will not see the Social Security number on the image unless they are a county employee with access to that unredacted image. Because we have to be able to access it both ways.
Right.
The original recorder of the document has a right to get a copy with the number on there. So we can't just obliterate it. Otherwise, the reason we did this is so we don't have to maintain two copies. It's just as it's pulled up, what the person viewing the document will see will be redacted.
Correct.
I have a question. You indicated there was a fee for the public to get into these public documents. What's that fee, and how much does it cover once the person pays? Is it per document?
It's per document. According to state law, it's $2 for the first page and $1 for each additional page per document. Most deeds are a couple pages. If you're searching by yourself, you pay access to the website of $5 for every $50 that you search. And then you just charge for the images 2 and 1.
What's the intent of the movements to cover the cost of the
It images? Covers the cost of everything that we do, the indexing, the scanning, the electronics, maintaining the system, so the taxpayer's not paying for it, the users are.
And I take it that has a lot to do with real estate.
Realtors don't do a lot of searches in our records that I'm aware of. Yeah, the title companies do. The title companies are the biggest. The general public don't use it that much, but it will. It is. There are times when people need to get their deed, and you'd be surprised if the individuals actually do sign in and look up that information themselves and print that out.
Basically,
and
they have to pay a $5 fee, and then you said it was $2.
$2 for the
first page, $1 for each additional page. So it's not an exorbitant.
So to get a copy of your deed, it really
right.
costs probably like $8 or $10.
Right. Title companies, though, do sign up for a subscription, and they pay $650 a month. And they can search unlimited number of searches, right, and they can get up to 10,000 images for that rate. And they do they're happy with that.
Okay. Just my apologies. Has everybody met Lieutenant Gilpin?
I know most of you, but
I know you couldn't attend the first meeting.
No, I get that Norvo thing with it, so I wasn't skipping out on you. Lieutenant Gilpin with Kenosha Sheriffs. I'm the new emergency management director down there, down in the bowels of the PSP. Thank you.
Another thing about our online system, unless you are a subscriber like a title company, you cannot search by name.
Same thing with our website.
Right. Same with the property inquiry. So somebody would have to know a legal description or a parcel number or a document number that they were looking for. They go on our website and just search by name.
So that's readily available on the interactive mapping.
You'd have to know.
The name's not.
You could click through every parcel if you wanted to. See, that's it. We worked on the premise that when we did that is that we want it available for people who have a legitimate purpose for it. We also don't want people who have restraining orders or judges or police officers that, you know, I see your name tag and I can look you up on the website easily. I'd have to already know where you lived, basically, in order to find your information on your on the website, unless I click through every parcel. But,
well,
you know,
they
if you have that much free time.
They could come into the office downstairs and look up by name. Because we do have to provide that, but we don't have to provide it on the internet. So they could, but you know, people aren't going to, if their purposes are nefarious, they're not going to come into a public building for the most part, where they can be seen looking up information about people to do something. You know,
to be honest, we know just about everybody who's on those computers because they're on there.
Right, they're on there. They're regular all the time. Right, and we'll be getting cameras, so we'll know
for real
everybody who's in there.
Redaction.
Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we're moving along with the RFP process and trying to, like Terry said, be as careful as possible, be sure that all our questions are answered and that we're clear in our communication with the vendors of what the expectations should be and what they will do and not do. So we're kind of at that stage right now.
Very good. And so
Trimen has been very good. We haven't had any problems with Trimen of any amount, but we haven't been that busy. It's been a slow first quarter, and according to my latest title company person, it's going to pick up that they've been very busy. So the test will come this summer, see how well it works when things pick up.
Someday I'm going to have plastic sign again.
Yes, not transportation project.
Exactly, not DOT.
DOT, yep.
Unless anyone has anything else for Mike.
Thank you.
I know you're going to work on my RFP, right? That's what you got.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. He has nothing else to do.
Everything else.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, everyone.
Six?
Number four, sorry. I missed five and six I wanted to switch around. Sorry about that.
Now I'm really confused.
Yeah, all right. We'll get there.
Okay.
The Wisconsin Land Information Annual Conference. The Wisconsin Land Information Association is kind of like the leading advocate in where things are going or heading as far as modernization plans for land records. And they have an annual conference, and the annual conference this year was in Middleton in February 12th through the 14th. And they had some big hitters there. David Kegel, can't even remember if I pronounced his name, Chief Information Officer, and also Ed Eberle, who is administrator, Department of Administration Administrator. And they didn't say too much, really, to tell you the truth, other than they were emphasizing Act 20, which had certain provisions in it as far as where redaction monies are going to go. And that they really have no plans in the future for what they're going to do as far as that extra $6 million they're going to be pulling in. And things to that effect, and they want to work with all of the governments in order to get things accomplished. So it's kind of a lot of fluff. But there were some things that were very interesting. There were various tracks that had geospatial programs, mobile applications. A lot of emergency services things were in there, planning. And it was really nice because two of our individuals, Scott Schutze and Greg Kliss, were able to put on a demonstration as well that showed floodplain applications in the Fox River area. And that went very, very well. So
it's a really cool demo. We should do it for this sometime as far as
what happens.
Yeah, we really should. We should have maybe next time think about that.
Sure. We can definitely
do that.
It's a very, very cool application. I think it's kind of useful for the planning purposes and probably useful for
emergency
services as well.
Yeah.
Did you see that one already, Joe?
Yeah, it's
great. Okay. So there's really nothing more I could say with that. You know, it was just the annual conference, and you have a lot of good speakers and some things you learned. You usually pick two or three pieces of information which would really help you. And that's really what those conferences are for. Now, this is kind of where I wanted to switch. I'd like to go to the State Cartographer's Office for broadband applications. The State Cartographer's Office went with the Public Service Commission, and they launched a statewide broadband application. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to identify broadband speeds, their availability, and also the providers that are throughout the state. So the Public Service Commission is interested in that. And they went to the state cartographer's office in order to get more accurate information, which included address points and also a lot of parcel information. So they could tie the two together. Now, the project started in 2013, and it's supposed to be in this July, I believe, or they have June. So by at that time, you should be able to pull up a map showing different kinds of providers and users throughout the state. So that's one entity, and it kind of ties together with some other things that are going on as well. Act 20 is one of the things that passed last year, and Act 20 was in the 2014-2015 governor's budget. We kind of talked about that briefly last time, and the main points of that were that there was a land modernization project that went to smaller counties that raised their amount of level that they could actually receive reimbursements from $50,000 to $100,000 for land records modernization activities. There's also a requirement that certain features be delivered and be shown on public access for, this came from the Realtors Association of everybody, and it has a lot of like treasures, planning, parcel information, assessment information, and basically everything we already have on there, and it's due by 2017. So I mean, this is mostly for rural counties.
Or Racine.
It included a statewide parcel map, which needed to be created. And I'll kind of dig into that a little bit further on as I get there. It also had a land modernization plan that we have kind of right here that has to be updated every 3 years. And they said as
of, didn't we just do that?
2010.
Okay.
However, the plan is supposedly updated as of 2014. So when we went through this act, they said everything is already taken care of as far as 2014. So next time this has to come through is 2017. So it's required.
So 16, we should start working on that?
Probably now we should start
maybe
working
15.
On. I think you should start working on it.
Like, I mean, it's kind of like your project, you know, once you get into it.
And the last one, which is the most important, is that $5 redaction fee, which will be going from the Registered Deeds Office to the Department of Administration. And the big question is, what is that $5 fee going to be doing in the Department of Administration Office, and how they're going to be using it, and what kind of applications are going for? And that amounts to a great deal of money. From there, from Act 20, I just want to push into number 7, which is the State Cartographer's Office developing this new project. It's called V1 or Version 1. It's an effort between the Department of Administration and the State Cartographer's Office that's going to go from July 1st, 2014 until September 30th of 2015. And what it's supposed to do is just be a report that's going to be developed by the State Cartographer's Office, which is going to identify those features that are going to be required in order to create a statewide map. They're going to be using $121,000 basically to try to come up with these different features, how they're going to import and export information, what kind of attributes they're going to get in order to put on this statewide map. So that's called version 1, and it should end in 2015.
How do we feel about that, Al?
The statewide map.
Skeptical?
The statewide map is it's good in some respects, and in other respects, it's bad. Emergency service, I think, would love it because you've got a tornado that goes through two or three different places. You can identify the individuals that are within those in the different counties, and you can see who lived there, what their, you know, if they have any special needs.
Across county lines.
Yeah, across county lines. So that's probably one of the biggest advantages that I can see is for emergency services. Commercial activities, try to identify those areas that have railroads associated with them, different kinds of entities that are going to be needed in order to do a certain kind of business.
I think no one can disagree with it on the broad utility of a statewide parcel map. I think it comes down to the nitty gritty and how they're going to do it and what standards they're going to use and how it's going to fit together. And that's where it comes down.
That's what the state cartographer's office is supposed to do. They're supposed to identify those features that they're going to need in order to do a lot of the information. Now, you know, they've already gotten halfway there because the state cartographer's office doing this broadband mapping project required address points and also parcel information from every county. And they got the majority of counties to buy into this. So they already have a great deal of information. The only problem they have is it's not current. And that's one of the issues that they're always going to have is the currency of the information that comes from the county.
They're always going to be behind.
Yeah, they will always be behind. They will always be behind. And that's one of the big issues that it's going to happen with the statewide parcel map is, yeah, what kind of information are you going to be able to glean out of it, and then how current is the information actually going
to
be?
Well, and especially when you get to more rural counties that, let's be honest, they don't have an IT department that's going to set something up to send them updates every night. Because so many of these counties don't have somebody who does that.
Right.
They don't have a guy that's his job to do that. No, they don't have that. So I think when you get to those areas of the state, they're going to be like black holes of information that are updated every, you know, maybe once a year if you're lucky.
Very much so. Very much so. That goes right into my next point, number 8.
I tried to set you
up. You sure did. Which is development of a statewide repository. And what this is doing, I'm actually on this committee, and what this is trying to do is trying to identify different kinds of data and where it's held within each county. So if you're looking for somebody to look for surveys, survey and monumentation information, it would try to identify that Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning would be the agency that would be handling that. If you're looking for different treasures information, you would basically have a repository kind of saying this is the entity that you would have to contact in order to get that. Then they will have something called a geoportal. And the geoportal is where you state, you put in a keyword such as Kenosha treasure or Kenosha
land,
whatever, you know, and it's supposed to point back to the proper individual or the proper location that would have this information. And that's kind of what this, this outline is. It's you know, you kind of go through it at your time. Oh, you missed one of those?
Yeah.
Okay. It kind of goes through, you know, the repository, then you have a geoportal, then you have information, keywords you want to put in, and then it'll go down and try to identify those individuals, and it will kind of have a certain flow. So it's not actually holding information. That's one of the things that was always a big deal with us, yes, directing, saying, okay, we want all your parcel information. We want all your information that you now hold in your system, and that way it'd be accessed directly from the state. That was one thing that we didn't want to do because, of the accuracy of the information and the updating of the information. So this geoportal and repository is kind of a way to point to the right individual to get the most accurate information. And the second half of that is what Terry alluded to, is those counties that do not have the ability to create a website or have any kind of access to some of their information, this geoportal and the repository will gather that information up, put it into a format that can be utilized so that you can go to these rural counties and then pull that same kind of information off in case you need it. So that's what they're looking for with the geoportal. Thanks for the move into that. Next thing we have is the aerial photo project update, and I think that Mr. Bauer can probably answer this as well as I do. Do you want to go into this, or do you want me to?
Well, you're going to have a meeting tomorrow.
You are going to have a meeting tomorrow, yes.
And I don't know this, Al, but I think the Regional Planning Commission will want to go ahead with a region-wide program with 6-inch pixels, and then individual counties can decide. And now 6-inch pixels and only ortho photography.
Okay.
And then the individual counties will have to decide if they want to buy up. You guys had 3-inch pixels last time. You'll have to decide whether it's worth it. They have proposals from two firms, Pictometry and the old Aeromech.
It's a quantum now.
And then the same issue about with respect to the photos, whom I want them. So you guys will discuss that tomorrow and come hopefully to a conclusion.
Yeah.
So are we looking at spring of 2015?
Yeah, I believe so. That's probably when the fly is going to be. And what it came up with a price of about $150,000 for oblique photography and also for area photos at 3-inch pixels, which is the best in the state. So, you know, it has the best in the state, but we'll have to buy up in order to get that. And I don't think realtors or the sheriff's department or anybody else would appreciate us going back a step.
Interactive right now is at 3 pixels.
At three.
Yeah. It's very good.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see.
So you don't want to go back and see something.
Well,
that,
if you look at some of the, which you can on the interactive, look at some of the older maps,
yeah.
And you can see when we were at 6 before, there is a discernible difference of detail that you miss out on. For sure.
When I was in patrol, the sheriff's department using that interactive mapping and some of the other issues, a host and civil process, the way everything's linking together now with the different departments, mm-hmm. it becomes very important to some of these smaller agencies like civil process and things where we have to link documents as far as foreclosures and all that other stuff together, circuit court. It became real crucial when those state laws passed about 4 years ago now. But anyway, the Sheriff's Department uses the interactive mapping as it is now quite a bit more. So I'd hate to see that go back to 6. Yeah.
I agree, and I think a lot of people would hate to see that go back to 6.
Who is your meeting with tomorrow?
Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning, and the vendors, Pictometry and Quantum, will be there to show their products off.
What would be the advantage of going to 6?
There's no advantage to 6. It's cheaper besides
that's
that.
That's
the standard used to be like 12-inch,
okay.
And then the reason why we went to 3-inch was because we had a whole other cadastral program that we administered, which is all the different lines that you see on the map,
right.
And that you had to collect that, draw that, the tree outline, and all those features had to be drawn in. And so, you know, years back, we relied on that very heavily because the aerial photography wasn't good enough to see those features. Going to 3-inch pixels, the extra cost, at least from our perspective, outweighed the cost of doing the cadastral mapping because now we could actually see it. We could see the curb, we could see the lights, we could see the signs.
See the car in the
so
driveway. Yeah.
That helped us in from what we do at in our office at least, and not needing that cadastral information. There still is cadastral information that is needed, but basically you guys are maintaining that now.
Exactly right. And the oblique photos that we're talking about are a little different than the aerial photos. The aerial photos kind of like are shooting right straight down. So what you see is the top of the roofs, and you see the driveways and things like that. Oblique photos are shot at an angle more than they are shot right straight down. And you have the ability to take and rotate the building so you can see different sides of it. Now, the advantage to that would be for the sheriff's department especially,
sure.
If they had to do any kind of bust or
technical
operations, exactly
on that side of the house,
or fire would be another one. You can find out the exit settings.
About access to the public, though?
I don't think we'd have to talk about that, but I don't believe that would be a good idea.
I don't
to give that access to the public. I think it would be something that should be an internal process only, and that it would be handled through the sheriff's. That's only my opinion, and I think there needs to be some discussion on that.
A policy.
So tomorrow, Al, you'll know what the incremental costs are of going from a 6-inch
to 3-inch.
To a 3-inch.
Yeah.
And adding the obliques. Mm-hmm. And then.
So I'm assuming they're going to give you a price for each.
You're going to, in effect, you're going to get the 6-inch pixel orthophotos free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing's free in the world, but you're going to get it free, okay? And then you will have to decide. I don't know how you're going to do that internally here, but you're going to have to decide to what extent you want to buy up.
We would,
and you do that after the meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess I would get more information from that after the meeting, like you said. I think there would probably be some kind of, you know, if everybody's getting something at 6-inch and getting a certain amount for that, then I think that amount would apply then to what we have for 3-inch, but we still have to buy up from that point on. So,
well, It sounds like there's, besides just the better picture that we all enjoy, it sounds like there's a savings of work, at least in your office, as far as the cadastral aspects of the
work. Correct. Right. That was a huge savings. And the cost, you know, last time was pretty expensive. And the cost that they've given us so far that we have for tomorrow's meeting are, I have to say, pretty reasonable.
The only problem with it is that there are some kind of incentives that are attached to it. So they are going to probably give a discount, a substantial discount on their product. Both of them are. But they want you to fly more frequently. So they want to almost have a contract with you to fly. This is what I'm getting out of it, to fly at different intervals. Now, for Kenosha, I think that's a fantastic thing because we're developing so quickly. But for other counties, I'm not sure if that's such a good idea.
I think there's a couple issues. You know, I think what we need to do is we need to understand the costs. Mm-hmm. And I think it should come back before the land council. We should have a position. You know, this is, to me, I think this is a discretionary item. It's great to have pixels, and you know, if it's supported by this committee, I think we need to convey that to the county executive and say it's our recommendation. Here are the things that buys us. I think there is some concern that why is Kenosha need to be the best in the state as far as the resolution and clarity. And I think we want to try to be able to address that. Once we get his approval, then we would take it to, you know, our steering committee and you know, the finance committee for approval, and finally to the board. I would be skeptical about committing to a multi-year agreement because we never know what will happen in future years with the approval process. So we have to just be cautious of that and work close to our council. But you know, I think you know if there is value in going into the 3-inch pixels, then we need to be able to articulate that. You've already, you know, heard it from the county executive, Al, that, you know, it's like, tell me why. Mm-hmm. I need to understand why. So.
Just curious, where would that budgeting come from? Would that come out of land use budget? How would that?
The monies themselves, I think it's part of a project that would be right. Incorporated in IT. We're part of IT, so I think it would be incorporated in there.
Right. Capital improvement plan, CIP.
Now, it's interesting. I think you will also have costs for a 12-inch. Because historically, the Regional Planning Commission's photography was 12-inch.
Okay.
So you'll have
12-inches.
And I think you've said it, Mr. Chairman, just right. You're going to have to decide. And this group probably was a logical one to make a recommendation.
Right.
And so which of the buy-ups, if any, maybe they'll be satisfied with the 6-inch.
Yeah, would you be able to do a presentation to some of the sheriff's people with the new leak stuff?
I believe that we probably could enter in order to show that information to you, yes.
I'd be willing to try to put something together with the sheriff's department representatives to show it to them, and then maybe they could give us some information and give their opinion from the sheriff's side and from emergency management.
And that would probably help as far as the justification process is concerned as well. So if you can justify, you know, the aspects for emergency service and also for the sheriff's department.
I can bring in the deputy and Captain Habker from administrative services into that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can do a combined.
Yeah,
maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sure. You'd probably
There's lots of different uses that we, I mean, until you start talking with everybody, then they all flush out, and that's what you're kind of saying, Marty, is to get it out on paper on that, besides all of this stuff you do just in planning and development and economic development was one of the key factors
right.
of moving to the 3-inch. And I'm bet that there's going to be other counties that will be moving to 3-inch as well that we won't be the one right now. And we had reasons for that.
Right.
And it was good reasons, cost-saving reasons. And we did have support from the county executives for that at the time. And I think the other thing, too, just for the committee to know is that at least when a lot of times when mapping is talked about, so many people bring up Google and Bing, and it's like, well, why don't we just use that? And, you know, it's there, and everyone has it, and we all use it, and that is fantastic. But
it's
when you get into the aspect of the detail, like where you need it for certain things, or even the obliques where you're getting views, they do it whenever through the year. And most of the time what you see is that the trees are on and you can't see things. The goal, like for what they would need is they need to be able to see things. You need to see the building all four sides, and you can't do that with Bing because they fly any time of the year.
And the defined property lines are an issue too, for sure.
Right, yep. Right. And we have to have accurate stuff that is, I can't think of the word, but rectified. Through the parcel lines, so that everything coordinates.
Fits, yeah. Right. So mm-hmm. The floodplain, the wetlands are all in.
Yep.
Right. The big point I think that Andy hit there is that flying leaf off. You know, Google or whoever else, you're flying with leaf on, you can't see a building. You can't see a structure at all. You got leaf off, you got everything right there, and you can see everything that you really need. So that's the big plus as far as going to obliques and flying during the period of time when leaf off.
So are you estimating it's 150 for obliques and 150 for 3-inch?
For both. At 3-inch, yeah.
Okay.
But like I said, there's, from what I understand, just from reading, I'll get more information tomorrow, but just from reading, that is with incentives that are tied to maybe doing flights at a more regular interval. Well,
which we've had discussions on, to maybe do a more often.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, that we'll have to figure into this is that there might be some need to do a little more LIDAR to pick up the changes that took place on Long I-94 since the last time. I-94 was going to be done when they fly next year, but that's been pushed off. For Kenosha County, we're kind of lucky because about 80% of it's going to be done by next year, and so that was something that we were looking at maybe pursuing, and that was the beauty of with that type of system is that you can pretty much just pick specific areas of the county that you might need to update your
topography
on, as opposed to before we used to have to do it by section.
Yeah, that'd be a question that would have to be used tomorrow, too, is what they would charge for just doing that kind of activity rather than just doing the entire flights, too. An entire flight is going to be much easier to do than just kind of picking out a specific area. So that'd be a question that has to be answered in tomorrow's meeting. Too bad we didn't have this.
You're going to have to, at some point, decide whether you're going to update your topographic maps or not. Now, Walworth County is going ahead with an updating program with 100-scale two-foot contour maps. Or, if as an alternative, you're going to want to remain with orthophotos. And if you want contour lines, the LIDAR contours added to the photo base. But I don't know if where you guys are at internally in considering that. But remember, historically, your foundational elements for your program, Mr. Brockmeyer, what? Survey control?
Survey control is the foundation.
Topographic maps for ground truth. Cadastral maps for individual parcel data. And that's just something that I think you guys are going to have to think about. How you want to approach that in the long run. Milwaukee County has updated their topographic maps. They remapped the entire county. Depends what you want to do.
In 2010, we did get a $175,000 grant from the DOA to defer the cost of doing the LIDAR for the entire county. And the reason for that was all the flooding that we had in 2006 and 2008. Is they wanted to, in getting that information, 1-foot contours, basically that helps with being able to do floodplain management.
All we have to do is wait for more flooding.
Because we didn't have enough last year? Because we didn't have enough last year?
What's the frequency of the flyovers now? Is it every 3 years?
Five. And that's a pretty long stretch.
What was the indication if you had to do this contract with them? What were they kind of?
Well, like I said, I'd have to say specifics. I can't say it right offhand, but it looks like it could be like on a 3-year basis or a 2-year basis, something like that. And I think we'd want to try to make it a staggered basis such that we did hit a point where we'd be able to work on a 5-year basis with Southeast Wisconsin Regional, because they might be able to get a certain kind of funding that we'd be able to attach to that. So, it would be in intervals in between, but then definitely make one interval a five-year interval so we can tie with Southeast Wisconsin Regional on it.
So something maybe negotiable with them.
Yeah. And I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to comment any further because I'll be talking off of my head, and sometimes that's not the best thing to do.
The last time we had serious discussions about increasing the flyover was pre-2008, before things started to slow down on the development front. Because if you look at pictures between 2000 and 2005, there was such a huge difference in the county. It was ridiculous as far as the growth and how that map had changed. Even as we were hit 2008, there had been such a change from 2005 to 2008 that you could almost not recognize the county anymore again. But then, now we've kind of flattened off. So if we pick up again, I think there would be some serious discussion there.
But I also think that there's certain areas like that. You want to show Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to show that on these map. Large yeah. commercial activities that mm-hmm. are coming in, because one thing they do is they spark interest mm-hmm. in other companies as well. So, you know, you can see kind of where I'm leaning to real hard here, because it is something that would be great for economic development, I believe, if you actually have updated maps that are going to show these commercial activities coming in and actually being part of Kenosha County.
Sure, Gordon Foods and some of those others.
You got that right. Mm-hmm. And there's going to probably
be planned well in advance.
Other places as well. Well, the city just annexed 300 acres over in Paris. They're going to be doing something with that. They're not going to be sitting on that for real months. You know that.
Yeah. John, did you have a?
Just I agree with what you said, and not knowing all the details of it. When is it going to? If we decide this on a county board, for example, finance or anybody else, would it be in the capital improvement budget?
Yes.
For what year?
For this next year.
2015?
2015, yes.
Right. Okay. So if you're getting all the stakeholders with their pros and cons to start even now laying that out to make their case, otherwise, you know.
Let's be honest, we've got to do it sooner rather than later.
The real problem we had was we needed to get the information from the vendors.
Yeah.
And now we're going to be able to get the information from the vendors, and then we can start bringing that forward. That was our biggest issue.
Yeah. So we may need to have things, a recommendation, what the costs are, understand the full commitment in June.
Definitely.
So we need to.
Yeah, that's very, very quick. So
that would mean we'd need to have another meeting fairly soon.
Right.
Once we get it all figured out tomorrow.
I'd say you have to have your meeting, then we have to plan a combined meeting to see kind of the pluses of.
Might be great.
Three inch versus 6-6, with leak, with just flyover, those sorts of things, so we can see as groups the usefulness that may or may not provide. And then after we have those meetings, then we're going to have a meeting as a group to have a vote and then work it through all those changes.
Mm-hmm. Things will pop fast.
Yeah, yep. I feel like I got those up probably mm-hmm. tomorrow after you see. Yeah.
After we see what exactly goes on and try to get a little bit more better feel for the ramifications of what's going to happen.
Just a question, Marty, with this, because we have some of these discussions in past years, is thinking about this, and how do we want to let the other communities know what we're looking at wanting to do? Because last time we did invite the city and Pleasant Prairie in on the meetings that we had to determine what we were going to do with the 2010 project, and we're hoping that maybe they were going to want to buy in, which they didn't. And you know, we still felt it was important enough as a county that we still needed to provide and get that information, because it's used by everybody. Every community uses it. But I'm just wondering on if there's been any talk on that, or like when we were trying to get together with emergency services, does that mean that you want to try to invite this, you know, the city, police, fire, and others? I'm just throwing that out there for discussion. Sure.
Yeah, it might be a good idea just to extend the invite to get their buy-in to see what's capable and why we're proposing this.
Because I know there's always that inequity issue about, you know, what people pay. Are they really getting their money's worth out of what goes to the county? Mm-hmm. I guess we always thought in our office that this is one of those things that is really given back to all the communities. It's like, look, you know, all of you use this for emergency services, planning, fire, rescue, all that.
Right. I'm not very good on the politics stuff, but, you know, I think that, you know, know, I can certainly have a discussion with the county executive and see how he would like to approach this. I would be reluctant to invite the city or Pleasant Prairie into a meeting and they say, yeah, you have to have 3-inch pixels and because this is what we want, but we're not going to pay for it. So you guys are the bad guys if you can't do it. So I'd rather kind of, you know, make sure that
I think you've got that right, Mr. Chairman, because if they get their choice,
sure,
they're going to pick the obliques and they're going to pick the 3-inch pixels.
They need to pay for it.
It doesn't cost them anything.
Right. And
let's be fair. I think the point where it would probably make sense to invite them is kind of after we've made the decision and show them, listen, this is what we're going to do. Maybe you can find some usefulness for you in your economic development. Maybe bring Kava into the picture or something and work with it that way. They're not going to pay for it. I think it's great to have them involved in the process, but in the real world that is today, they're not going to pay for it because they know we're going to do it, whether or not they pay for it or not. And they're not going to buy it.
So. You know, I think, you know, if we present it in such a way that this look at what we're doing for you.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Exactly. That's what you do. After we figure it out, we've got this new option for you. Here you go.
So I think that's a good approach. I just wanted to throw it out. Okay. Talk about it. Yeah. That's the way they've been hanging out there.
Right.
One of the problems is, though, you're going to actually cut out somebody. You're going to do the flyover and then cut out a municipality because they're not to something.
No,
you're not going
to. We want to map the whole
county. That's not going to happen.
That's the best blur.
Oh, yeah, the city got an allergist. You're gone. The city got an allergist. The one that probably eats the 3-inch the most got 12 inches.
Yeah, political night.
Yeah, you're there, right. Definitely.
You go from the very defined 3 inches to 12 inches.
Right. Yeah.
We're just finishing up nine.
We went through, yes, aerial photos. The land record modernization plan. The land records modernization plan is a plan that's developed and it needs to be updated Act 20 needs to be updated every 3 years. And what this plan does is kind of discusses any kind of modernization projects that are happening or should be happening in the future. Money is coming from the register of deeds through the recording fees in order to supplement land records modernization costs. Now, presently, those fundings are going to the Land Information Office, our office, in order to and they're covering staff costs and to do land modernization updates and also GIS functions. This is an issue I think that is controversial and needs possibly to be looked at. Land information has to report to the Department of Revenue every June exactly where the funds are going to and what they're being utilized for. And they ask that they specifically relate to this plan. So we actually have full objectives out of this plan in order to say that we're utilizing these funds for doing these types of functions. So they have to be within here in order to actually say, yes, you know what, we can continue to get the funding. That's why I think it might be important to look in the future, especially in the near future, in order to identify what kind of features or what kind of plans we may be needing to identify projects, and then possibly take some funding and put those types of projects.
I think last time we did it took us 3 or 4 meetings to
actually do that. Mm-hmm. And you know, a good example right now is in this plan there is oblique photos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smart enough to bring in oblique photos. I think planning did that.
Well, I think we did that demo out at planning that had oblique photos shortly before we redid that plan last time.
Right.
So we all kind of saw the possibility of the oblique photo, even though it was ungodly expensive at that time, if I recall. But
and the Department of Revenue has also hinted, you know, they're not bringing anything out. They're saying right now we're going to do Act 20 and that's it. And they're not going to talk about those extra funds that are coming in because I think they have a plan, but they're not going to discuss it right now. But they have hinted that they may go back to competitive grants and competitive grant system, saying, okay, we have a certain project that we want to do and we need so much funding for it. Therefore, can you provide us with a certain amount of funding in order to do that project? And so that is something that might be considered as well to see where the Department of Revenue is going in 2015 and if they're going through, you know, a plan that would try to satisfy the entire state. being monumentation, but that would not help Kenosha as much as it would help someplace in Dunn County. The other thing possibly is aerial photos. I've heard that too. And the aerial photos, of course, benefit everybody. And that would be something that would be huge if we could do something like that in place. But again, that's 2015. That's next year. So that's always a question. So I guess that's all I really have. I don't know if you guys want to interject anything about this or any other things that I had.
A lot of this is still valid, though, isn't it?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be, we don't have to.
No, last time we did it, we started with the old document and made tweaks from there. Last time, the state had forced us to make some
adjustments
to the layout of it and things like that. But we've always started from the old document and kind of worked about, is this something we still want to do? Yes or no? Are there additional things we want to do? Kind of worked through it that way. So it wasn't like we started from scratch. So it was much easier that way.
Okay. So it's a good base to start from.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Are they changing our requirements this time, or don't we know yet?
As far as the information, nope. You still have to go to here in order to have appropriations saying, okay, funding is going towards these kind of elements within the modernization plan.
I'm sure there's probably some terminology changes that will probably be made.
Oh, they're actually putting through a survey, and this survey is supposedly going to be setting up different kind of terminologies that need to be put in the next plan. And a survey is coming out, I want to say within the next 6 months.
Okay.
Something to that effect. The Department of Administration is going to be going county by county, find out exactly what your needs are, what you're doing, and where you need to go in the future.
I think the biggest thing with that, besides, you know, the technical, you know, making the language pretty and all those sorts of things, was really everyone in the group putting on their thinking caps about what we want for the next 5 years and even potential things that we see coming so that we're covered just in case that timeline moves faster than we anticipate, and that way we're allowed to spend money on a project that might come up sooner than we think. If we think something may not be viable for 5 or 6 years, but all of a sudden it's viable in 2 or 3 because technology has advanced and it's cheaper and all of those things.
So. You nailed it, Terry. Who would know we had stuff that we might be able to put in the cloud, you know, 5 years ago? It wasn't. And now it is there, and it's something that you can take and utilize funds for land records modernization.
So is this something that you see that the fall meeting, we should review comments, suggestions, additions, deletions
to the plan.
Yeah, to the plan itself is actually trying to
start
create.
With that.
Start with the plan to see what we can actually start doing. Think of projects that we may have that we can put in as far as future plans, and actually update this document. I think the sooner you update it, because 2015 is such a question, nobody knows what's going to happen. If you update this plan and all of a sudden they start going to a competitive bidding process where you can go in and try to get grants, you've got an updated plan, you've got some specific items that you can possibly use for those features. So you might be able to get funding for it. That you never know what the Department of Administration is going to do. One year they took $2 million worth of funding, and boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
Nobody gets any money. So, they told you like a week ahead of time.
Would that meeting need to be scheduled like after this time frame where they do their surveying?
It would probably be helpful to have that so that they can actually do the survey. to do the survey to identify some of the features get back to this and then put some of those entities within that modernization plan.
Right.
That would seem logical.
So it may not be able to do it. Ball,
then. It would be difficult to say. I don't know how fast.
But at least the thing is we can find it based upon whatever that ever is done.
Right.
Then we can try to figure it out.
Exactly.
Well, and some of it is because some of us were in on the last time we redid this. Some of you have never really even looked at that document before, so it would probably be useful to look at what sorts of things we have in there.
What do I want to see?
And
show me everything.
So it gives you some ideas on, you know.
Well, it's a good thing because there wasn't a land council.
Nope.
Now there is.
And exactly.
Everything in there is what this council is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Before, the last committee that did this was the CALM committee. That's what we used the CALM committee to do this last time because we didn't have a land council. So.
Exactly right.
That's half of us here.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So I guess, you know, the action item will be really to revisit this once we get the information survey.
Department administration, right. Okay. That's all I have.
Okay.
13. Oh, is that all?
Is that all?
Status of the surveyor's contract?
Oh,
Bauer,
yeah, I do have that.
You've got the contract done?
I do have the contract done, yeah. I should say that. I don't even know why I put that in there. But yeah, the contract is done. It just needs to be signed by the county exec.
Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, okay. And that's basically where that is. one of the things I do want to add to that, too, is about the laser fiche project that you that IT is going through and the surveys that we have. It seems like there will be an ability to actually scan more of our surveys in putting it into laser fiche and then being able to supply that to individuals who actually need it, like realtors.
Surveyors.
So, you know, that would be something that can be, that hope will be looked at closely in the near future.
Can I just ask, is the surveyor's contract, is like another three, is it a 3 year or 5 year or 1 year?
The contract?
Yeah.
It's every year, same thing. So.
I thought that there was like a program. Isn't there, Dr. Bauer, a kind of the program that is laid out in that contract or what is being looked at accomplished every year?
First of all, the contract provides for the preservation of the public land survey system in Kenosha County. Okay, so that means that we replace, maintain all of the monuments marking the section and the quarter section corners. Okay, probably 40 or 50 of those a year. Under the contract, we can also perform surveys for the county at the county's request. For example, you built the cell tower in the park out here. We did the surveys for that, both for the location of the tower and its construction, but also for the clear of the FAA requirements on latitude and longitude and height and all that. Okay. And we send an annual report to Mr. Brockmeyer now. We used to send it to George, which tells you exactly what we've done in the preceding year. Now, maybe that report should be distributed to this council once a year,
sure,
so that you know what's being done.
It's an awful lot of paperwork.
Maybe an email.
I'm not going to show all of you.
Well, no, but there is the summary report.
I know.
Summary's good.
Summary report.
We like
say,
summary.
You want to see all of
you. You want to remember that in
Kenosha
County, all the seven counties southeast of Wisconsin, the public land survey system is combined with the state plane coordinate system so that you not only have the location of the corners by public land survey system, but you also have the state plane coordinates and the elevation of the corners benchmarks that go with the corners, so that the work requires not only plane but geodetic surveying capabilities today, because if you destroy a corner, we not only have to put the monument back, but we have to put the state plane coordinates and the elevations back. I don't know if that's what you mean. Is that what you're asking?
Well, partially, I guess for some reason I thought that the last contract that we had, there was kind of an initiative within it of different things that need to be accomplished from, I guess, just the surveying of the county as opposed to like just replacing the ones that get damaged. And wasn't there something more on that or not?
Recall anything like
No.
Watch me, Andy. I don't know.
Okay. Any new business?
I have one little issue I've got to let the committee know about is the Kenosha County Hazard Mitigation Plan. It's coming due. As you know, the last renewal was from 2011 to 2015.
Oh, that's a file I have to update in my drawer, huh?
Yeah, it's quite a document, and its implementation started halfway into 2011, so its actual expiration is, I believe, June 2016. In any event, it's a long, involved document that incorporates all the hazards, all the specifics about the county and all the hazards it faces, and all kinds of data about Kenosha County. Everything from population to river, water, land use, and all the municipalities. In any event, we need this document to apply for some of the federal grants and mitigation monies, and it has to be current. It allows us to apply for the EPGRA grants and the EMPG grant funding, my understanding is. I have applied for a grant to back in November to get it renewed, and it was denied. There were just no state funds available. There's a FEMA grant coming out and working on now, and with the help from SORPAC, Mike Kahn over at SORPAC, and he's kind of assisting me right now to submit the grant, but I'm not holding out my breath for it. There's not a whole lot of monies available. The expense is about $40,000 with some buy-in from the county, so something to think about. If we don't receive a grant to get it done, it may have to be budgeted for. Now, this is a process that'll probably take about 18 months, so it's an involved thing. So that's another issue for 2015.
Gil, is that this thing this time each department had their own little plan within that plan, or was that a different thing?
That's a different, I think. Okay. That's a facilities plan. This okay. is a countywide document. It's about the size of two phone books. And I should have brought it. I'm sorry.
We did, what was it, Koopcock?
Koopcock thing. I think that's what I'm thinking of.
That's another project.
I'm like, that's the file I was supposed to update. That's
another pile on my desk. But in any event, it is a document that the county has to update. Just wanted to let the committee know it's something I'm working on, trying to get grant funds for, but there's so much... everybody's in that same boat, and there's so much funding available. I'm not holding my breath that we'll get it, but I'm trying. But just another budgetary issue for 2015.
Something that is kind of overlaps with KOOPCOG a little bit. IT has an initiative going on for continuity planning, business continuity planning. Mm-hmm. And part of that is really focused on IT systems and capabilities and functions, but the other piece of it is encouraging business leaders to think about what happens if you can't occupy this building. What do you need to do? Where are your files? That whole process. So there's we kicking off a meeting today in Human Services to start the process. I think May 5th, 6th, 7th, something like that. It's coming into the administration building where people are going to be discussing business requirements, business continuity. And I think Sean has talked to you a little bit about this.
He has, yeah.
How we're going to work together. So
it's something to work out. It's going to be an important part because it's one of the things FEMA is requesting counties to do, or inter agencies to have this continuation of government plan, and it follows a FEMA template, which I've already put on SharePoint. If anybody wants to look at the template, I've customized one for Kenosha County. Just to tell you, I won't try to get this out too much, but I'm trying to put together a plan or a workshop like with Sean to hit all the different agencies so we can kind of build this thing together for each one of the departments.
Just one last thing. There'll be another meeting for ULA in June. Happens to be in the Dells. and hopefully the Department of Administration will give a little bit more information on at that time.
Anything else, anyone? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Very good. Thank you all.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Well, we'll probably meet sometime in the next...
Month and a half?
Yeah, probably the next month.
6 weeks. Yeah.
We're almost to May, so I guess like... month and a half, somewhere in there. It's going to be beginning of June, right?
It has to be before that, really, because they got to get the IT budget.
I don't
know. Budgets are due in July.
Right, but
their
budget,
we
like it
early.
So we want to meet in early June.
It's going to pop. We need to include the Sheriff's Department.
The WLIA conference is the first week of June.